Hello and welcome back. It's Richard Lannon for Set for Success, and we're going to help you create a journey, that continuing journey to help you create a roadmap to change your business, career, or life. And we're going to do this through chatting with one person at a time to uncover people's lives, their business, their journey, their successes to help you create the success that you deserve. And you do deserve to be successful. Now, I want you to say that. I deserve to be successful. You deserve to be set for success. You should basically say that to yourself on a regular basis. So, you know, if you listen to the show, you know I love quotes, and I'm always sort of Googling and checking out quotes on the internet. I try to find things that are relevant to the show much as possible. So here's our quote for today. I think women and men should start to embrace their age. What's the alternative of getting older? You die. You can't change the day you were born, but you can take care of your skin, your body, your mind, and try to live life happy and live a full life. Now, this is sort of a paraphrase quote from Olivia Munn. Now, if you don't know who she is, Olivia Munn is an American actress and model. She began her professional career in television journalism before becoming an actress. And then in 2006, she starred in a series called Beyond the Break. Then she co-hosted a Attack of the Show, which I'm not too sure what that is about, but then eventually she ended up on The Daily Show from about 2010 to about 2011. Not often I use actors or actresses quotes. Often I think I probably find more things like philosophers or basically various gurus and business, etc. But I sort of thought this quote was appealing and I found it interesting. Mostly because I think it is relevant for our time, for all time. You know, we have a major segment of our population that is aging and needing to take care, better care of themselves. Both men and women share aging in common. Sometimes I think when I read stuff, in the general media, you think they don't share it in common. But I don't know about you, but I'm aging and I suspect you are aging too, no matter what your gender, race, or ethnicity is, your background. Right. The fact is that we're not getting older. You may be dead. I love that sort of quote. Basically, I was reading some stuff from Tom Petty, and he actually has a quote that says, if you're not living, then you're dead. Right. And so think about that for a moment. I sort of chuckled when I read it, but I thought that was appropriate. Now, you might not particularly like that, but I think it's a bit of my dark and dry sense of humor when I sort of read it. Couple of population points. We have an aging population made up of mostly traditionalists, baby boomers, and maybe Generation X. These generations are starting to require more and more services to help them live a healthy and productive lives. Trends suggest that living independently or shared or assisted living with help services will be in greater demand and grow into the future. For people wanting to stay independent in their own homes, for example, or whether it's in a house, a condo, an apartment, it is important to have some kind of assistance maybe as you are maturing or aging or getting older. I don't know if these are all the same thing, but we're going to talk about that a little bit. But what if you get injured or you have a special needs to ensure that you can live the life that you desire? You know, whether it is a physical injury, cardiac disease, cancer, diabetes, weight challenge, joint pain, or whatever the case might be. And I'm sure I could sit here and create a list of 50 or 100 things or whatever. I don't know. But I bet as a whole growing industry is coming out of aging for place and space. For aging in your place and space. Interesting words when you tie those together. Yes, we are all getting older. We are all aging. Maybe it is time we, men and women, embrace our age and take care of ourselves as we live a long and prosperous life. I know that's so Star Trek-ian of me, almost like a Spock quote. Live long and prosperous. Why not? So as I was giving today's show some thought, I was thinking, okay, now who, I wonder, in their business or in their life could join us to talk about this topic? Somebody who knows something about aging in your place and space. As luck would have it, a former guest, Marnie Courage, was available to come and chat with us today. Marnie is the CEO of Enabling Access. And Marnie, it is great to have you on Set for Success today.
Thanks, Richard. Thanks for having me again.
I really appreciate you taking the time because I know that there's a few things going on. We both have hectic schedules and we're just trying to make sure that we fit everything in. So I always appreciate when a guest decides to join me. Marnie, it's always good to tell our listeners a little bit about yourself. So why don't we start there first? Let's just find out a little bit about Marnie Courage and we'll go from there.
Sure. Thanks, Richard. Yeah, I grew up in Winnipeg, and I am indeed aging. I'm 45 years old, and for some of the listeners, that might sound young, and for some of the listeners, that might sound old. So
I think it sounds awesome.
and really, what we're all talking about here is something relevant to everyone at whatever stage in your life you are, because what we're talking about is aging in place, and what makes me an expert is I am aging. So okay. I have lived experience, but also I'm an occupational therapist by profession. And so occupational therapists are trained healthcare professionals who work with people with disabilities. We do a lot for preventing injuries. We work in workplaces. We work with children. We work with older adults. But really, the job of an occupational therapist is looking at increasing function for somebody in whatever their daily activities happen to be, or their occupation. So in this respect, when we talk about aging in place, we're talking about people with disabilities. We're talking about seniors who are wanting to age in place. And this is where my business has really started to focus in on residential accessibility and functional independence in the home. And it's often not until people see some kind of debilitating injury that we start looking at our environment a little bit differently. So in terms of my expertise in as being an occupational therapist and my lived experience with older adults in our family, that's where we created Safe Living Manitoba. So that's what brought me here today.
I think what we might do is just talk a little bit about Safe Living Manitoba and aging in place, maybe in another segment. I'm curious about something, and I wrote this down real quickly, and I know it's going to sound like maybe a lack of knowledge question. I didn't want to say ignorant question, but what is the difference between a physiotherapist and an occupational therapist? I know this is sort of just off cuff, right? But I was writing down physiotherapy and then you sort of went occupational therapy. So can you give me a distinction?
Sure. I know we work closely with physiotherapists, and really the common goal is improving function when we look at our clients. But physiotherapists are really skilled experts in the body, in mobility, and improving health and wellness, looking at function, and you'd be better to ask a physiotherapist what exactly their expertise are, because they have a bunch of specialties within physiotherapy. But occupational therapy really takes into account the person, the environment, and the occupation. So we're looking at a performance model where it's not just about the person, but it's how that person, in the center of the environments that they live and work in, can actually conduct their activities of daily living. So there's a physical component, a cognitive component, and a psychosocial component to this.
So what we'll do, we'll take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk a bit about what those key components are about living in space. This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I am hanging out today with Marnie Courage from Enabling Access, and we were talking a bit about aging in place. I like actually aging in place and space, but that's me. Could you, just before the break, we were saying, I'll have you come back and talk about that a little bit more, maybe define it for us a little bit deeper, and then some of the key things that our listeners might be interested and concerned about.
Absolutely. So yeah, when we talk about aging in place, it's really about having accesses to support services, health services, social supports in your neighborhood to live safely and independently in your home for as long as you wish to or would like to and or are able to. And so when we talk about aging in place, to move or not to move, that is the question.
It is a big question, right? Because I want to go into this one because you know what? This is a question. I have a 97-year-old father, you know, so 97 still alive. He's like a super senior, you know. I think there's actually a category out there for people who start to move into their 90s. But then, you know, you move into our lives. You mentioned you actually shared your age, 45. Now I know, but I'm 56, turning 57. And I find that even in our relationship, my wife and I are talking about our home. And we're talking about what do we want next? You know, do we rent an apartment? Do we buy a condo? You know, and there's a lot of things that go into actually, you know, stairs, for example, as you're aging, you know, do you want to have stairs in your house? Or how about your connection to your home? You know, is your home just a house or is your house a home? Which those are two different things. So people see things a bit differently that way. I'm just curious as to what your thoughts are in terms of possible physical space that people might want to consider.
Yeah, it's a complex decision process for any family or for any individual. I think, it's let's take the technicality out of it in terms of what people should have and think about people, what people want or what people need.
Yeah.
Because that's what keeps us in our homes probably too long and inappropriate environments that maybe have safety hazards, have accessibility barriers. It's usually that emotional connection to that home. Maybe there's pets that you're able to have there, but if you moved into an apartment, you wouldn't be allowed to have it. Maybe it's Mrs. Jones next door. They've been neighbors for 50 years. What would you do without that social connection?
Mm-hmm.
Would our family still come over for dinner if we moved out of this house? Though all those kinds of emotional considerations and psychosocial considerations that keep us connected to our homes are a lot of the reasons why people aren't living in environments that are appropriate for them. So there's a lot of considerations that families need, and I really think that they would benefit from professional consultation in navigating the choices that are available to them and also funding some of those choices that are available to them. So, you know, I'm
curious. I'm sorry, mm-hmm. Because I know you're talking about navigating those choices and then funding those choices. These are big words, right? I mean, I'll call them big words. In other words, have big thinking around them. And I know I had a question there for you. Basically, though, when you look at those kind of things, what is the whole process that somebody has to go through around, you know, trying to figure out the funding, trying to figure out, navigating those things? Like, what are some of the things they might want to consider?
Yeah, I think, well, it depends on, who you are and what your health needs are and some of those things. And access to public health services. It's a big topic. And that's really where we break this down for folks and show them what their options are and show them what their resources are. And when we think about who we're talking to here, I think it's important to define these populations. When we talk about the aging population, right now, seniors make up 15% of the population in Manitoba. And you're right, with the very old group being the 85 plus, they're the fastest growing group right now.
They're the fastest growing. Okay.
Right. Yep. And so, but you know, with the aging population right across Canada by 2031, it's expected that seniors will represent 25% of the total population.
When we say seniors, what's the starting age of a senior nowadays?
Yeah. According to Stats Canada, they use the 65
plus
group.
These are the 65 plus group. Okay.
But we know the 85 plus is the fastest growing. And so we know that this isn't a little niche market. And in addition to that, and overlapping with that is the Canadian disability population, where we've got Canadians, in Manitoba specifically, representing 15.6 of our population, percent of our population. So, and as people are aging, we know that they're developing disabilities, especially mobility disabilities.
What's a common mobility disability? Like, I know, it's a tough question to answer, but, you know, you have an aging population but there must be certain things in the mobility area that you see among your clientele.
Sure. There's orthopedic injuries, we would say. As you know, you've got the broken hips, you get arthritis, all of those things that kind of naturally happen with age.
Aging.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're associated with aging. But we also know about progressive disorders like Parkinson's.
Okay.
And other ones like that will have, might start off with just a little bit of issue with mobility and then, you know, progress, unfortunately. And then going from, you know, somebody who has a little bit of a shake to somebody who's now needing a wheelchair.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that occupational therapists do well is we're able to predict future needs. And that's something that people have a really hard time with and sometimes don't want to think about. It's what I need right now is this, or what mom needs right now is this. Mm. But what we help families do is really start thinking about what might you need down the road. So we only have to do this once.
No, I love the fact that you said that, because as you were talking, I was thinking, well, how, my question was originally, you know, how do you get ahead of the curve? And I think that's really what you're trying to address right now. Is there, I'm going to call it getting ahead of the curve. In other words, what might you need in the future? Mm-hmm. Is there a time period where you might want to start projecting your plans forward? It's a bit of a...
Yeah, I think it's not a numbers game. I think it's a mentality to be, you know, when we talked earlier in your introduction about just, you know, taking better care of ourselves. Taking better care of ourselves means not having that Peter Pan philosophy. And if you've heard that before...
No, I'm not too sure. What's the Peter Pan philosophy?
We all feel like we're going to be young forever.
Oh, I wish. I look at pictures taken of me and I'm going, who is that guy? And that's the weird thing, okay? We all think... My wife and I often talk about this, is that in our minds, I think sometimes we think we're 30. But then we see ourselves in photos and we go, what happened?
Yeah, absolutely. And so we're trying to get people to think about themselves as individuals of a lifespan. Okay. And so you're just at one particular point in time for that very second. So there's the next minute, then the next minute, and the next year. And we're trying to look to get people to have a healthy way of looking at their life in terms of a lifespan and not getting stuck at a certain age. And so what that really takes is for us to be projecting into the future and being proactive. So I would say there isn't a number, but you should start. You could start today with thinking about, what do I need today? What might my family need in the future? And hey, what if we made our house visitable so our community could come visit us? Because even if you can't accept your own aging, maybe you'll accept the fact that people around you are aging and may not be able to visit you in your home because of the maybe safety risks or accessibility barriers.
There might be some other challenges. You know what we have to do, Marnie? We need to take a short break. But when we come back, I think what we could talk about is a little bit more about the accessibility barriers that might exist in our future. This is Richard Lamb for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I'm hanging out with Marnie Courage, and we've been talking about aging in place. This should be like a theme song. A good one, though, right? Just before the break, we were talking a little bit about the whole idea, well, what about living in your home? What about the greater community, right? Because as we're aging, our friends are aging too. And you know, how does that actually look for us as we're moving along? So I suspect you're talking about accessibility. So let's talk a little bit about that. And what are your thoughts on accessibility overall? And change my words if you need to. I'm just sort of playing with what we've been talking about.
No, you got it. Accessibility, we call it sort of residential accessibility when we're talking about homes and where people live. And currently in Canada right now, we don't have any laws that are guiding builders and renovators in terms of what has to happen with new builds. Mm. So what we're seeing in Manitoba is a bit of an accessible housing crisis. We have more people who have disabilities and seniors with mobility issues that... we have more of that population than we actually have a supply of accessible houses. The other thing we don't have is any database of any homes that have been modified or are fully accessible. Mm. So people don't know where to look for those kinds of appropriate environments. So there's a few gaps here. And
you've been saying that the population is aging, like the 85 plus. I'm going to assume the 65 plus too. Okay. We're talking about baby boomers, right? And so, you know, as we know, having lived some life, 10 years disappears pretty quick, right? So if you're 65, boom, you're now 75. And it's a sad thing to say. My dad used to say that a couple of things. You know, I have more years behind me than in front of me. And I think that's at some point in time in your life, you've got to sort of come to that terms. And the next thing he used to say is life is but a dream, right? And it just disappears real fast, right? And I think that's sort of an indication of, you know what, you've got to do stuff in terms of your life as you're getting older to be able to better take care of yourself. And I think that's sort of what we're saying here.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, people get it now and people are starting to really sort of drink this Kool-Aid that, you know what, we need to be a bit more proactive in where we know we need to be more proactive in our health. And really healthy living is being in an environment that is safe and appropriate for us. And so, you know, if we talk about the housing market, we know that a bungalow right now per square foot is more costly than, say, a two-story home. The demand for bungalow-style homes are going up because there's more of a demand for an accessible one-level home.
Everything on one level, yeah.
Right, yeah. But unfortunately, Manitoba and Winnipeg specifically has a lot of old homes that are two-story homes or multi-level homes, and people are needing to move out of those homes and to find more appropriate homes because those homes are really difficult to modify.
It's interesting you would say that because I was thinking about this the other day, and so I've been sharing with you when we've been between breaks that my wife and I are going through this dialogue right now about our next place we're going to live. I'm selling my home. I already know this, and I just don't want to be going upstairs anymore. I can do it, but I'm thinking 5-10 years down the road. I don't want to be shoveling snow anymore, all of that stuff. And we were talking a little bit about different cities we've lived in. So we are Winnipeggers, right? And we're back home now, but we've lived in other cities. And we got the opportunity to live in a lot of four-story type buildings with elevators and underground parking. Like, really, they had sources. But yet I find that that's really limited here in the Manitoba space, that when if you want to live in a nice community, it's like it's three stories and you got to walk stairs, which as you're getting older, that's just not an option.
Right. And I think we need to look at that from a new build perspective, that we need to be thinking about not seniors as being a target market, but about building for everyone. And that's really what we talk about in new builds. It should be a universal design where everybody benefits from that kind of a design. Wider doorways, brighter lights, door handles that are levers instead of knobs.
Yeah.
Everybody benefits from these features. And some people, when they think of what an accessibility feature might be, go right to grab bars and ugly railings and things like that, that with poor aesthetics. But really, accessibility really helps people with ease of use. It makes it more functional, and we can do it in a way that it's design friendly and matches the decor of the house.
So it's interesting you would say that, because you immediately brought me to assisted living facilities. And I've had the opportunity now, just because of aging family members, to spend time in assisted living facilities. And some of these places are absolutely beautiful. Like the ones that have incorporated the designs that you're talking about, where the hallways are a little bit wider. It's a bit brighter. The room, the door handles, they're beautiful door handles, but they're levers instead of knobs, right? And so it's interesting that you're talking about that in the sense of even creating your own home that way.
Absolutely. And so some people don't have that option to have that new build or to move. So home modification, aging in place and home modification kind of come hand in hand. We look at helping families decide, is this a move or is this a stay in, a modifier
modify
move?
Modify your home.
Yeah, is it a modifier move scenario? And so some of the things that we look at when we look at modification is we do a client assessment where we actually look at mobility, we look at cognitive issues, we look at family issues, we do an interview with the family to say, like, what features do you want in your home? And then we look at what is possible. So we do an environmental assessment, and it's a collaborative assessment. And this is something that people need to know is, you know, you don't just have to call a renovator and they come in and do something, or an occupational therapist, but it's about having a multidisciplinary approach. Obviously, the resident or the client as the center of this, an occupational therapist who can help with predicting future needs and current needs, and a really reputable renovator who understands the barriers of construction, what is possible and what is not possible. When this team works together, dreams can, you know, be
made. Can come
yeah,
true.
Yeah.
So, and then I guess that probably opens up some choices for you. I can't help, like when you throw words around like renovation, or buying a new place, or I'll go with the renovation one. You know, I can't help but think, you know, I'm a money guy, right? I'm a numbers guy, right? I often say to my clients, you know, if you don't know your numbers, you don't know your business. And I think that's very much in your personal life too. I can't help but thinking that this requires an investment from a family to, let's just say, assume that you want to stay in your home, but yet you have to make adjustments in their home so that you can live in your own place. What's the challenge with the funding of doing all of this?
Well, I think if you want to talk in business sense, it's return on investment,
okay.
Right? And so you can talk about the ROI here. So what is the investment, the emotional investment, the social investment, all of those things that people get from actually staying in their home?
Sure.
You know, and what about preventing a fall? This is a big deal. If you have a fall and you're worried about money, then that, you know, I think it's 1/3 of all personal care admissions are due to a fall.
Oh yeah, they're huge, and since we live in an icy environment, mm-hmm. You know, for about 6 months of the year, falls are probably, there's probably lots of falls going on.
Yeah. So if we talk about investments, then it's about a prevention investment, preventing personal care home, the fees of personal care homes in the future and premature entry into some of those private personal care homes, potentially. And it's looking at, you know, if you use the business model of sustainability, it's, you know, being able to live in the community that you want to live in and use those same resources and maybe just with a few added resources, be able to stay in the same place.
So I think what we'll do is we'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk maybe about some of the gaps that exist and maybe some of the program options that exist for people. This is Richard Lannan for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hey everyone, welcome back. I'm hanging out with Marnie Courage. We've been talking a bit about aging in place. Well, that's totally what we've been talking about, actually. we were talking just before the break, and actually during the break, you and I were talking a bit about the gaps that exist, right? And I thought maybe that's a good place to sort of start. You know, where do you see a little bit further what the gaps are? And then really, what are the options for people? And we'll do the first gaps first, and then, you know, what's going on that really can help people out here? So.
Sure. Yeah, I think some of the gaps with what's happening for individuals in terms of their choices and what's preventing them from moving forward on some of this is the cost of some of the home modifications. I think there's a misconception about what home modifications may cost. We're not necessarily remodeling a whole bathroom. That sometimes it's really simple fixes. And I'll get into that in a minute. But in terms of gaps, to renovate your home, there are a few small government grants that are available to people in lower income who have disabilities and lower income seniors. But it's a small amount of money that could be potentially put towards accessibility features in your current home. Also, there is a gap in providing funding for private occupational therapy services in the community. So the public healthcare system is well set up for dealing with people who are already in the healthcare system. But what about people like you and your wife who are trying to proactively think about what they might need? To get an occupational therapist to come into your house, you would be paying out of pocket to a private therapist like myself. And so there's a gap there between what the public health care system is providing and what we as private health care professionals are able to do. And then the cost of the renovation itself is still mostly unfunded. Of course, there's financial options like a reverse mortgage now available to seniors and other kinds of financial incentives. But I think this is where the advocacy has to happen. And for people to know, we need to do some work with the Canadian government and provincial government to look at funding some of these home modifications so that we can prevent some of the long-term health care costs related to falling, related to decreasing health because somebody is in a poor environment and there are hazards there. And so those gaps are moving people to start searching out and looking for help with home modifications. And maybe that's where we could just sort of explain what some of these home modifications are.
Sure, sure. What are they?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, we talked a little bit about fall prevention. So there's, you know, some pretty easy, straightforward things we can do in terms of tightening handrails or banisters and moving loose rugs out of the way, increasing lighting on the pathways. There's sensory modifications we can do, like putting little contrast strips on stairs that you can see them better.
So you see them better, yeah.
Reducing the glare off countertops from fluorescent lighting and things like that. And then there's those more significant accessibility modifications we can do in terms of maybe someone needs a ramp to the front door, a stair lift up to the second floor, a remodeling of the bathroom to make it more functional, changing out the hardware on doors, maybe widening some of the doorways. A lot of homes have these 23-inch narrow bathroom doors that it's hard for, you know, some larger people to even
To get through, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and you would hope that they were at least 32 or 36 inches, but that's not always the case, right?
Right. And so sometimes people don't know what they don't know until they have another set of eyes or a professional lens come in and have a look at what might you need now or what you need now and what might you need in the future, what your family and friends might need. So when anybody's thinking about doing what we call a renovation, innovation, I would really challenge people to think this is a great opportunity for us to think about future needs. And instead of calling it a renovation, look at what home modifications can we make to make our home more accessible and safe and inclusive for our community.
For our community. And you know, that's an interesting way to actually look at it, you know, what kind of modifications that can be made. Because I know from, I guess from a consumer or homeowner's perspective, I think in terms of renovations, you know. Now, I know we've used myself as, and my wife as an example here, and I appreciate that. I'm not married to my home, right? I'm married to my wife. Right.
Good.
But I mean, some people are married to their home, right? Mm-hmm. At their house. And so I think if you're that space, then, you know, maybe that opens you up to be able to move into a place. Could be an apartment, could be a condo, no stairs, elevators, those kind of things. You could pre-think some of those things, you know. But then again, you got to look at what your needs are and where you're going to be. And that's what I think I hear you saying. You got to look totally at what your needs are and what your wants are and be realistic and be proactive about it. I know that, and maybe you've touched on this a little bit, but are there other programs that might be available for people to address some of these issues?
Yeah, you know, certainly the Manitoba Home Builders Association is a wonderful resource. They've got, if you go to their website, you can look at qualified renovators who understand what is possible to do in the home. But I really recommend working with a multidisciplinary team where you have an occupational therapist and a qualified home renovator. And those two pieces, at least you get the function, the future needs married with the construction possibilities and expertise, the technical piece of things. When you bond those things together, the homeowner would definitely get a more holistic and futuristic, they would get that value out of that. And that's really where Safe Living Manitoba was born, which is a program we developed at Enabling Access, and it was to fill those gaps we talked about. It is a fee for service, but at this point we're still advocating, and we're advocating at a national level for more funding. I'm working with the Canadian Home Modification Council, which is the Canadian Home Builders Association, representation by occupational therapists, representation by contractors, seniors, advocacy groups. All kinds of people have come together on a national level to really look at how we can work better together, how we can serve the public better, and how we can get government on board to look at what else can we fund in terms of these modifications. So Safe Living Manitoba here in Manitoba is the only one of its kind where we'd come in as an occupational therapist and look at cognitive, psychosocial, and mobility issues. And then we look at the home and the relation of the residents to that environment and see how we can increase safety and independence for families in Manitoba.
Isn't that what most people want is first of all, they want to feel safe, but they want to live independently. To me, you talked about psychosocial, I think was the term you used. I can't help but think, having worked with aging parents, right, and aging kids, you know, which puts me into aging, that the social psychological component of being independent is incredibly significant.
Yeah, absolutely. Being independent, that's all about quality of life, I think, here. And what gives you quality of life? Well, having meaningful tasks that may help you feel productive in your day. That's part of it.
Yeah.
But also feeling like you're well and you're in a healthy environment. So all of those things, being able to do things for yourself brings people a lot of quality of life and fulfillment. So we're trying to support that in this process as well.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. If someone want to get in touch with you, how would they go about doing it?
Yeah, we're at enablingaccess.ca on the web, info@enablingaccess, and our program's the Safe Living Manitoba program. If you Google that, you'll find us.
Enabling Access, mm-hmm. Safe Living Manitoba program. Awesome. What a great guest. I mean, I just really I appreciate everything that you're sharing with us. If you had one final thought for our listeners, what would that be?
I'd say start today. Start thinking about things today. Start talking to your family today about what do we want? What do we value in our home? What kinds of things do we see for our future? And reach out. It's free to ask for help, and we can set you up with resources.
And I think that's probably the key, set you up with resources, because I think maybe for a lot of people, it's like anything else, it's like financial planning. It's like going on a vacation. I mean, you need the resources to be able to do these things. And I sort of hear this, the same idea here is that in order to live in your place or live in place, you need the access to the resources to be able to make the right decisions for yourself as you move forward. Marnie, thank you very much for joining us on Set for Success today. You're an awesome guest. I really appreciate it. For our listeners, of course, I want to thank you for tuning in. I have always appreciated it. If you have a question, an idea, or a thought, just send me an email at richard@setforsuccess.ca. Something I want you to remember to do: do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.